So Edward, your father, Edward Bridgeforth, came from Virginia and was a trucker living in Bridgeport and played ball.
Yeah, he played ball. He was a pitcher for the Park City Giants, and I think he played first base too. Because I gave Mary one of the, he had a scrapbook, and all the baseball teams that they played, he had a list of all of them, or that he won or lost in different positions of the guys on the team.
Wonderful.
And Mary made a copy of it in here. This was it, last year, I think it was. I brought the book for her. And they had published a picture in the Bridgeport News and said, "Do they know anybody know what this team was and what the PCAs, the Park City Giants, did?" So I had brought the clipping up, and I said, "Yeah." And then on the end there, on the top, that's my father. He was 25 years old at the time.
The top right?
Yeah.
Top
Well, when
left?
you're looking at the picture,
Yes.
it's the top left.
Top left.
He's the youngest one sitting way up on the end there. And
That was by the monument at Seaside.
Yeah, that was a monument right down Seaside. And we have the original picture. It's at home, but we were looking at it the last time some of the relatives from Providence came down. And we put it away. And now we don't, actually don't remember where we put it. It's still in a house someplace, you know. And he was, let's see, on that, there was a Negro League. I don't know. I think the Park City Giants was the first Negro baseball team in the city of Bridgeport. And then my father tried out for the Negro National League, but he didn't weigh enough. He said he was underweight. He had to weigh a certain amount of pounds, and I think he said he was about 10 pounds underweight, so he couldn't go. It was like a Florida league that he was supposed to go to, but he didn't weigh enough. He was a good pitcher and everything, but he did not weigh enough to go into that league, so he missed out on the league then. And now, when we were kids, after he got off of work, we used to go down to Seaside Park. They used to practice, I think, practically every Saturday and Sunday. And then they'd have the game, and then there would be somebody at, like, intermission that would come around with a hat. And they'd pass the hat around to everybody around the bleachers. And people would throw coins in, you know, for a thing there. And then they organized the Park City Giant Juniors. That's where my oldest brother was. He was one of the members of the Park City Giant Juniors, the original members. And they still have the charter. I was trying to get my brother to get the fellow's wife to give him the charter so that I could bring it up here and have a copy made. But he said that she sort of misplaced it someplace. But there should be a way that I can find out. You know. Let's see, what is it? House of Records, where they get permits or something. So
we could talk about that too.
Yeah.
In a little bit.
Yeah, because they.
Yes.
Yeah, because see, they had to renew the permit, I think, every year or something like that. Because they had the original permit. Okay, because they were original Park City Giant Juniors, and that's their name.
That was for the younger
folks.
Younger
group.
Yes.
And the original Park City Giants, now, they must have a charter, and it's got to be registered in the city of Bridgeport.
Parks and Recreation, it's a possibility. What years did your father play?
Okay. My father played from, I guess since probably when he was a young kid. Oh, he played before he got married. He was playing before he got married, so that must, he might have been about 18 when he started playing ball. And he played up until, let's see, I think he played up until about 1938 or something like that.
Well, they were an outstanding team. They were one of the best African-American teams in New England.
Yeah, yeah, they were
absolutely
good. And they played quite a few games, too. Quite a few. And I was surprised, like, when I was reading this book, of all the teams that they played, all the different positions, and there's quite a bit in that book there that he has. And that's a history right there. you know, the ball team right here. And I was thinking, like, this new ball team that they're going to open up down here in the South End.
Yes.
Okay.
They have the pin here.
Yeah.
The blue fish.
Now, I was reading an item in the paper that this Afro-American and what was it, this Irish or Jewish guy? Now, they're talking about combining both names for the name of the stadium down here.
That's a possibility. Did you read that maybe in last week's paper? Was it in the editorial page?
A couple of days ago, yeah, something like that.
I wrote that article.
Yeah. And
I wrote that article.
I was saying it would be nice if they did, okay, after the building is finished, that they have a room with all stuff about the baseball teams, the Afro-American leagues, the Spanish leagues, mm-hmm. all the leagues that were in the city of Bridgeport. Have, like, one place so that people in Bridgeport can come down and look and say, hey, I remember this guy. I remember this mm-hmm. guy. You mm-hmm. know, or that's my cousin or something like that. Gee, I didn't know there were this many teams.
Well, that's a wonderful idea. In fact, folks who are building the stadium because of my interest and love of baseball, they've asked me to oversee that project. So I'm working on that. And something I've always been interested in, and for many years, is the Negro Leagues.
Yeah.
Speaking with Larry Lester out in Kansas City, just in October, just a couple of months ago, I brought Bo Wallace in to celebrate Jackie Robinson and Larry Doby's mm-hmm. 50th anniversary of breaking the color barrier. And he played in the Negro Leagues with the Newark Eagles, the Houston Eagles, and then later he played 1 year with the Bridgeport Bees. And I figured, I met him out at Shea during Jackie Robinson weekend when I was there. I said, I got to get this guy to Bridgeport. So we had a wonderful day. It was Bo Wallace Day. The mayor signed the proclamation I drafted. It was really a very special day.
Yeah, because when I was reading it, I said, now, it would be nice if they had, like, one room.
Sure.
Or just a setup showing all the Negro Leagues and, like, the information that got out my father's book,
mm-hmm.
some of that. And a lot of the people in Bridgeport, hey, I remember that. I remember when they used to play down Seaside Park.
There is so much history. I want to ask about Seaside in a moment. There's so much history that that's actually a good problem.
Mm.
There's a lot to pick. The real trick of it is, I guess, is locating the sources and then getting a correct description or the dates, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's the trick. You just mentioned Seaside Park playing down. Now, there's a couple things I want to ask about Seaside. Is that where your father, you mentioned as a family you used to go there on Sundays. Baseball games were played on what
baseball
day then?
Baseball games were played on Saturdays and Sundays. And I think it was Diamond One. I think one time when my father was playing that he hit the ball and it went out toward the seawall. I think that was one of the longest hits that they had in that baseball team out there. And that's right next, you know, there's a stand. Hot dog stand like this.
Mm-hmm.
That stand that's been there. That was there when I was a kid, that same stand. But they've, different owners, different things been changed around in it. And we used to go swimming. Like we'd go out there, family picnic, we'd
mm-hmm.
lay out a blanket and put all our food and stuff on it. We had ice in a little chest. And then we'd go over and go swimming. Come back an hour later, there it is right there. People would be right next to us. They'd have their little setup. Everybody was friends and got along down the park. We used to go night swimming down there, too.
Hmm.
Sometime late at night, about 11 o'clock at night, we'd go, us kids, we would go down there and swim.
How old were you around about that time?
8, 9, 10.